Congratulations, America. The United Nations has given their stamp of approval now for us to ruin our country as we know it. They have done this in a new way by congratulating the Biden administration for bringing four times more refugees to the U.S. than Donald Trump did. This on top of the open borders. That's right. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees is praising America and praising Joe Biden's leadership for his new plan. Many of you won't know about this plan because the media is not going to tell you about this plan, right? Because they just want it to happen and you not even know about it. The new plan of Joe Biden is to actually bring not one, not two, not three, but four times as many refugees into the United States of America this year alone as former President Donald Trump had planned to do. And that makes you a great, weak world leader. And the United Nations is saying thank you to Joe Biden for doing just that. In a statement released, the man in charge of refugees, the commissioner, the High Commissioner for Refugees of the United Nations, applauded Biden's decision to increase the refugee resettlement capacity for the fiscal year 2021 to 62,500. That is more than a 315% jump compared to the previously established cap of 15,000 refugees for the fiscal year last year. Now, let me explain why this is so significant. This is all happening right now while you have an open border and you have more illegal immigrants crossing than any other time in modern history in this country. Since we've been tracking the numbers, we're talking like 170,000 people caught last month. That's how many we caught. We have no idea how many got across the border illegally. We have a border crisis that's been orchestrated, a border crisis that was created by the Biden administration, a border crisis that is deliberate, not accidental, a border crisis that has been done to fundamentally change this country. And the United Nations is now giving us a pat on the back for saying, not only are you guys remaking America, but hell, you're bringing even more refugees resettlements to the United States of America on top of all the illegal crossings. And we want to say thank you because they know that this will fundamentally change the United States of America. The whole pace will pick up in a few months. I love how they get these nice titles. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Grande, said in his statement. Grande told Voice of America in an interview, in the whole of 2020, we only settled 34,000 people globally. But now you've got a woke president. Now, the year before, just so you know, was 100,000. He says the drop was enormous. Quote, I don't know if we'll be able to get to that, but at least the Biden administration's getting to 62.5 that quickly. And we say thank you. What is important is that there is an intention to get back to 100,000 plus. As early as May, Biden had resettled nearly 1,000 refugees across the U.S., but we want more. After the refugee lobby and the Democrats denounced Biden's original plan to keep the Trump-set refugee cap at 15,000, and the reason why we have a cap is because when you got an open border, you might want to pull the other numbers down, right? Nah, screw that. Flood America with a bunch of people from other countries because we can clearly handle it with our fiscal debt we have of trillions of dollars in this country. We can afford all these people coming here, and then we pay for their food, and we pay for their water, we pay for their housing, we pay for their medical. Hell, we'll even pay for your hotel room while you wait to get settled into America. We'll pay for all of it. We'll pay for your education. And don't forget, we're also sending out $500 checks to people that are duly employed because we want to help them out even more in this country. And we're paying off debt. I'll tell you about that happening in a moment in California with your tax dollars. The administration under Biden reversed course, announced they would boost the cap to 62.5 because we're going to change this country. Let's move to another issue. A group of House Republicans and Democrats now want Biden to expand on the soaring refugee resettlement figures by fast tracking. You ready for this? Afghan nationals who worked with the U.S. armed forces into the U.S. Now, let's deal with that for a second. Be very weary here of the Trojan horse, okay? I want to make this clear. I'm in favor of Afghan nationals who worked with the armed forces coming to the United States of America because they put their lives on the line every day working with the U.S. government. Second thing is this. Now knowing that we're pulling out of Afghanistan and a lot of these people will probably be slaughtered by the Taliban and ISIL and the Islamic State, we should certainly make sure that we send a example that we are going to work with you and we're going to help resettle you if you worked with the United States of America. And we're not going to allow you to be slaughtered, right? For you to be beheaded, for you to be hung, for you to be able to be shot in the streets and drug out in front of your family. So I am in favor of fast-tracking these Afghan nationals. The problem is they're now using these amazing people to justify a bunch of other admissions that have nothing to do with this. So this new group of rhinos and Democrats who want Biden to expand on the soaring refugee resettlement figures, they're saying expand it. They don't just want it to be at 62.5. They don't want the Afghan nationals to make up part of the 62.5 that they want to come into this country this year. No. They're now saying, well, if you want the Afghans that may die if we don't bring them in, if you want to bring them into the country, okay, you got to add on to the 625. They can't be counted in the 625. That's the Trojan horse. The lobbying efforts come as Department of Justice documents reveal that a similar program established by former President George Bush and the late Senator Ted Kennedy, back when Democrats weren't just psychotic and total socialists, for Iraqi nationals is plagued with fraud and abuse. Yeah, you heard me. Did you hear that? So we've done this before, and basically it went to the highest bidder. We would lie and allow people, or people would lie, to come into the United States of America. Federal investigators believe that some 4,000 Iraqis filed fraudulent refugee applications as they reviewed the cases of about 104 Iraqis who sought to enter the U.S. through the Bush-Kennedy Direct Access Program. About 500 of those Iraqis have already been resettled in the U.S. In addition to increasing refugee settlement, Biden rescinded an order that allowed states and localities to decide whether they wanted refugee resettlement in their communities. So now we're taking away states' rights. Welcome to the Trojan horse I just warned you about on another front. In other words, what the Biden administration has done is they said, well, you don't get a say-so. You don't want a bunch of refugees coming into your neighborhood, coming into your state. If a governor doesn't like how they're handling this and they say, not in our state, well, Biden has said, screw you. I'm rescinding an order that would allow states and localities to decide whether they want refugee resettlement, because this is about fundamentally changing America. They want to force illegal immigrants and resettle them and refugees in communities that are hardcore and conservative, because they want to change those communities fundamentally. The order, by the way, which was signed by Trump, which gave states their rights, which they already had, I would argue, gave Americans the veto power over the program that they for decades have been shut out of. In other words, he said, look, we don't want to resettle people to areas where the community doesn't want them to be there. And you have a right to say no if you feel like you can't handle it, whether it be from policing or from a financial standpoint or from an education standpoint, whatever it may be. You want to know how many refugees we have in this country? Let's go over that real quick. Over the last 20 years, nearly 1 million refugees have been resettled in this country. Did you hear that? Over the last 20 years, more than 1 million refugees have been resettled in this country. If they have kids, you're now up to 3 million, 4 million, 5 million. This is a number more than double that of residents living in Miami, Florida, to put it in perspective. So we have more refugees, and not counting family members, right? Because people procreate. We have given refugee to more people in this country over the last 20 years than the entire population of Miami, Florida. To put it another way, the number of refugees that we are bringing into this country right now would be the equivalent of annually adding the population of Pensacola, Florida, to the country every year. So don't act like this number is insignificant. You know how much this costs us? Refugee resettlement costs American taxpayers nearly $9 billion every 5 years, according to research. And each refugee costs taxpayers about $133,000 over the course of a lifetime. So every person we let in, you're paying $133,000. How can we afford this when we can't even pay for our current bills? Look at our national debt right now. How can we afford to keep this going? Each refugee costs taxpayers $133,000 over the course of their life. And we want to let in hundreds of thousands of them every year? Within 5 years, an estimated 16% of all refugees admitted will need housing assistance paid for by you and I, the taxpayers. So 16% of everybody we let in, you're going to be paying for them to live in America, literally paying for their housing, their food, their water, their electricity, their clothing, All of these things you're going to be paying for. Welcome to socialism. This is how you fundamentally change the United States of America. You bring in a massive amount of people from out overseas and a massive amount of people from the southern border, and you fundamentally change this country because they're okay with a new type of government. Why do you think this administration is so hell-bent on having an open border right now? It is because they know that people coming from Mexico, people coming from Ecuador, Cuba, Venezuela, they're okay with socialism. In fact, their extreme socialism is not exactly the type of socialism we're going to have here right now. So they're going to even be more excited about it. They're not afraid of socialism. They're not even afraid of communism. They have grown up in that system. Oh, it gets worse. California is going to use federal money to pay all back rent for people that haven't been paying their bills on a scale we've never seen before. California to use federal money to pay all back rent on a scale never before seen, because in this country, we now pay people to be irresponsible and not pay their bills. The state of California has now decided that they are going to use federal COVID relief money to pay all of the back rent owed to landlords by qualifying residents during the coronavirus pandemic, even though this money was not originally ever supposed to be used for this reason. That's not all. They've added some bonuses onto the irresponsibility. They're also going to pay for electricity and water bills that may have gone unpaid. So if you decided not to pay your bills for the last year and a half, in California, they're going to use our tax dollars. Let me be clear. You may say, well, this is California, so it doesn't affect me. That is a lie. It absolutely does affect you, because this is federal tax dollars, your federal tax dollars being used to pay all the back rent owed by to landlords by qualifying residents during the pandemic, and electricity and water bills that may have gone unpaid. The state of California, due to population, got $75.7 billion in budget surplus before counting the $26.6 billion it has received from the federal government as well. A lot of cash rolling around in California right now from you and I, the taxpayers. So then Gavin Newsom comes out with a tweet. California is planning rent forgiveness on a scale never before seen in the United States of America. That is actually his words. California is going to do it. And he says, we're proud of it. President Joe Biden signed the $1.9 trillion relief bill earlier this year because states like California, quote, needed help. But the state is awash in cash thanks to an economic recovery that actually began under Donald Trump and earlier relief bills. So now California's got a crap load of money on their hands, and this is what they're going to do. Let me also remind you that California actually still has the highest debt of any state. $363 billion in estimated liabilities in 2019, that according to Forbes magazine. Still, Governor Newsom, facing a recall election, he's trying to figure out how to buy votes, and now he's going to do it with your dollars. So again, even if you don't live in California, this affects you because this is your tax dollars, your federal tax dollars going to a governor who has decided that I'm going to buy votes. And that's what this is. It's buying votes. He's promising more money, more stimulus checks of $600 for 2/3 of people living in California. And the state legislature is about to provide even more money. The New York Times is now reporting a $5.2 billion program in final negotiations of the state legislature would pay 100% of unpaid rent that low-income Californians incurred during the pandemic. It will be financed entirely, not with state money, with federal money. This is buying votes. The state is also proposing to set aside $2 billion of your federal tax dollars to pay for unpaid water and electricity bills. When California became the first state to shut down its economy last year, Gavin Newsom predicted dire shortfalls in the state's budget. But a year later, the state finds itself with so much money. Again, federal tax dollars, because of their population, that's poised to not only recover 100% of unpaid, not only cover, I should say, 100% of unpaid rent for low-income tenants, but also give an additional $12 billion back to the taxpayers by sending state stimulus checks of at least $600 million to middle-class Californians, that meaning $600 a person. This is buying votes. The state's separate rental relief program would be available to residents who earn no more than 80% of the median income in their area, who can show pandemic-related financial hardship. This will be filled with fraud and abuse, just so you know. For example, in San Francisco, a family of four would have to earn less than $146,350 to qualify for you paying back all of their rent, electricity, and water bills. So you can make $146,000 and get everything paid for by the government because Gavin Newsom has got to buy votes to get reelected because he's up for a recall. State legislators are also planning to extend a moratorium on evictions past the current June 30th expiration date. And of course, they're going to tell people that are dying for their cash, don't worry, we're going to pay you. One of the problems the state will face in distributing the money is the lack of applicants. Recently, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported that hundreds of millions of dollars available for local rent assistance has gone unspent because people are not applying for the aid. In other words, you're giving away money and people are not even applying for it because either A, they believe they don't need it, or B, it's too much trouble, or C, it's actually not a bad problem in California and everybody figured out how to pay their own bills. Don't worry, insert socialism. We'll fix that problem. We'll make you want to get free money from the government and you'll vote for us. You think, and of course, I'm going to disprove another idea. Many of you may be saying, well, hold on a second. Maybe people didn't know about these programs. Maybe the government didn't do a good enough job telling people about all this free money they can get their hands on. Okay, I'll tell you right now, the problem is not lack of public awareness. Critics have actually blamed, quote, slow bureaucracy, meaning the government, cumbersome rules, and the apparent fact that people seem to have found a way to pay the rent using their own money and working hard. One theory among local economists is that the public officials overshot the need for rental assistance. With several rounds of pandemic-related stimulus money, renters may have found a way to pay rent despite job uncertainty. Yeah, there's a great idea. But no. We got to buy your votes. So we are going to give out money at an unprecedented level. Federal money, not state money in California. We got a lot of money from the Democrats, and darn it, we are going to send that money out as fast as we can. We are going to use these federal tax dollars. We're going to screw the rest of the United States of America to pay all back rent. I want you to think about something else real quick with Gavin Newsom. Think about if you own an apartment complex. Think about if you own rental properties. Think about what you're about to do when it comes to voting. Are you not going to vote for Gavin Newsom if Gavin Newsom is about to send you maybe five figures, six figures of money? If you have a rental property, if you own a rental property, how would you not vote for Gavin Newsom again to guarantee yourself a significant check coming from the federal government relief funds that you didn't even have to pay for? All this money we're talking about is not coming from taxpayers in California. It's coming from you and I. Other states are not doing this. We're all being screwed. Everybody realize how big of a screw we're getting. They are flush with cash, and they're handing it out left and right. Now, all this is happening in this country. The media is not covering it, of course, because this is watching the sausage be made, right? We don't need to really get this information out there. We don't need to tell every taxpayer in America that you just got screwed out of billions of dollars that are only going to California so that people out there can be irresponsible. And while all this is happening, we're seeing real problems in America. Crime that is actually out of control in this country. You look at the numbers right now, and the numbers are just horrific. Let me give you an example. Places that have decided to fund the police, and we're now seeing, and I say this sarcastically, probably wasn't the best move by Democrats. Portland, you want to know how bad it is right now compared to last year? Homicides are up 533%. Shootings are up 126%. In Atlanta, homicides are up 58%. Shootings up 40%. In Philadelphia, homicides up 37% over last year. Shootings up 27%. New York City, homicides up 13%. Shootings up 64%. Los Angeles, homicides up 22%. Shootings up 51%. Chicago, homicides up 5%, shootings up 18%. Now, last year was some of the worst years on record for many of these woke cities that are defunding the police. So who's to blame for this? Well, we know, and I told you this yesterday on my podcast, that the Biden administration was in a bad spot and they're going to have to address what's going on with total anarchy, crime, and destruction in liberal Democratic-run cities. They're also trying to spin it. Here's your newest spin. Former Obama task force member is now saying that the cause of the rise in crime in America is actually the fault of the police, so we should just get rid of all of them. This person is now an MSNBC contributor, Brittany Packnett Cunningham. She went on TV and claimed that police are actually to blame for the rise of crime in New York City. Cunningham, formerly a part of President Obama's task force on the 21st century policing and the Ferguson Commission, spoke about the reason for the rise of crime and the Black Lives Matter movement, saying, "Don't blame us." You want to know what all she had to say? Take a listen to this on MSNBC. In the entire time that she is pushing to defund the police and saying it's the police fault that we are living in hell in many of these cities, I want you to know that the host is smiling and nodding on MSNBC the entire time.
Tomorrow is primary day for New York's mayoral race. Crime is the number one issue among Democrats. Those are the people voting. What does that say about the defund the police movement? Do people know what it means? Do they know what it is? Do they know what they want?
By the way, I love this setup here from MSNBC. They're admitting now that the number one issue for Democrats in New York in this primary for New York City and the mayor's race is crime. Bloomberg headline, New York crime wave dominates mayoral debate marked by insults. Yahoo News, crime dominates final stretch of New York City mayoral race and the test for Democrats. NPR headline, crime is a key issue in the New York City mayor's race. So they're all having to admit that crime has gotten so bad, even Democrats give a damn about it.
So, Stephanie, I think it's important to begin with the simple fact that all of us, and I do mean all of us, want safer communities. Everyone wants and deserves to be able to walk out of their home, walk freely on the street, play with their child, and ensure that everyone is safe while doing so.
But here comes the but, right? Because this is what Democrats will sell you. They'll sell you, just like this crazy woman, that, well, we all want a safe community. Well, then why are you actively doing everything you can to make sure that our communities are riddled with crime? Let me also remind you something else. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter and race real quick before you hear the butt coming from this insane person. The majority of people that are dying in these cities, I'll go back to these in Portland, are minorities. Homicides up 533%, shootings up 26%. The majority of those shootings happening by minorities on minorities. That's a fact. Atlanta, where homicides are up 58%. Shootings up 40%. The majority of the shootings are being done by minorities on minorities. Philadelphia, homicides up 37%, shootings up 27%. The majority of shootings there, go look at the stats, are minorities shooting minorities. New York City, majority of attacks by minorities on minorities. Los Angeles, the same thing. And Chicago, the same thing. So this idea that this is about Black Lives Matter is a lie. If it was about Black Lives Matter, you'd be advocating for more police to stop the death and destruction of black people at the hands of black people. The commentator, by the way, knows that she's black. So she wants to tell you, well, you need to understand, we all want to be safe. Here's the but, though.
But what we also know to be true is that defunding the police is not just about taking money out of an institution that continues to prove ineffective.
So police now are ineffective. You just heard it from a black woman who is okay with black people dying because she hates the police more than she cares about black lives. She says police are ineffective, so we defund them, right? How is she going to fight crime? Because there's your big, that's one hell of a but, right? We believe you should be able to be safe. We believe you should be able to go outside with your kids. We believe that your kids should be safe when playing. But, there it is, but we know that police are ineffective. So therefore, we should defund them. Who's going to protect you, woman?
It's also about refunding the people. It's about ensuring that the...
Refunding the people. That's a new one. Oh, does that mean that we all get a refund? Is that what this means? Like, you're going to give me cash so I can go buy more guns and ammo to protect myself? Because if that's what you're putting on the table, I'm willing to listen. I don't think that's what she means by refunding the people.
Services that people need to ensure safe communities from the ground up are actually being funded and resourced to their full capacity.
All right, so let's now we understand what she's saying. What she's saying is she wants more free crap, and if we give away more free crap, then people will stop committing crimes. Show me one place in America where that's happened. Show me one place in America where we have extreme housing assistance and utility assistance and food assistance and all of this crap that she's advocating for, quote, refunding the people, where crime drops and doesn't go up. Just because you give people free money, just because you give them cash to pay rent and to buy groceries, doesn't mean that a community without police is somehow going to arbitrarily become safe by default. The reason why you have law and order is because you have people that are willing to fight to make sure that law and order continues each and every day. Without police, people see opportunities. It doesn't matter if the government's paying the rent or not. There are certain people in America that are going to commit crimes when they see an opportunity to commit crimes. Without police, there are more opportunities to commit these crimes, even if you're paying their rent.
I think that there are a lot of police unions and GOP operatives that would like for us to believe that this recent crime wave has everything to do with this idea of defunding the police.
All right, well, then let's deal with that then. You crazy on MSNBC. Show me a city that has defunded the police that's gotten safer. Show me a city that has got a large Black Lives Matter movement and a large Democrat-controlled elected body, aldermen, city councilman, county commissioner, mayor's office, where crime has gone down. I just need one city. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
But guess what, Stephanie? The police haven't been defunded. You actually look at the 50 largest cities' law enforcement spending as a share of the general expenditure in each of those cities actually rose slightly from 13.6% to 13.7%. And many of the cities that have talked about removing that money, like Minneapolis and Seattle, they've actually paused or slowed how they were thinking about moving that money.
You want to know why? Because when they said they were going to defund the police, they started doing it. Crime went out of control and people in the community, majority of them being affected in a negative way by this crime wave, this crime surge, are minorities, you idiot. You have minorities that are dying at the hands of other minorities in this country. When you start defunding the police, there is a cause and effect, and the cause and effect is more minorities die. But you guys, y'all hate police so much, you want them, you don't even care how many black people die. You don't care how many Hispanic people die or how many Asians die. You just hate police because you believe that police are somehow evil and you're making money off selling this. You're getting elected to office by selling this, right? This is a trumped up claim, not based in fact, so that you can then make money off of it. Black Lives Matter is making a lot of money, folks. People running off of defund the police are making a lot of money. They don't care who dies in the process. They could care less. By the way, I would encourage you to go backwards. Listen to the podcast that we went through about the defund the police movement, how it got started, okay? It's important. And please share this podcast with your family and friends so that more people can hear what we're putting out while others and the media refuse to cover these subjects. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.